Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. If you didn't catch it at the very beginning of the bulletin, the theme is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, which says, "Now the Lord spoke to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Now, I have a friend in San Diego, a high school buddy that I still am in conversation with quite often, and he's just an avid San Diego Padres fan. And so, you know, every time there's a game on, especially during the playoffs, I'm watching the TV, and when they pan through the audience, I'm thinking, oh man, wouldn't it be great to see Bruce there at the game, not knowing if he was there or not. You know, what are the odds? Imagine that you're in that situation. You're home watching your favorite team. Maybe it's Busch Stadium or some other place. And the game is televised, and you're at home sitting on your couch watching the game, thinking about those friends. You know they're there in person and wonder if by chance you might spot them somewhere in the crowd of 50,000 people. Small thing. What are the odds? And then suddenly, there they are. A camera pans across the crowd and settles on them just long enough that you recognize them. And it's an amazing moment. And you shout out their names as if they can hear you. What are the odds? The many and the one, or in this case, the many and the two. It's easy to get lost in the crowd. As in the old Where's Waldo's books, it can be hard to find the one in the many. In the holy history of God and humanity, known as the Bible, God is more than plenty good at finding someone in a crowd. 4 millennia ago, God found a tribal chief leader named Abram from among all those nations and all the people groups on the earth. God singled out this leader out of the crowd and promised to bless him. Such a blessing God gave Abraham that it would extend to all the nations. That's what God said, and that's exactly what happened. Now, some see the idea of Abraham blessing the nations as being fulfilled in his impact on the world religions. There are 3 major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, that consider themselves part of the Abrahamic tradition, each recognizing him in some way as significant in their history and what their tradition. As for us Christians, Abraham's impact goes far much farther than that of a historical or religious figure. We believe that God blessed Abraham to establish the nation of Israel, and that from that nation, God blessed the world with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We believe that when God first blessed Abraham, God already had blessing the whole world in mind. You can't miss this in the promise that God gives to Abraham. It's all very personal, this call of God, and at the same time, it's very universal. The one and the many. God says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. In you all the families in the earth shall be blessed." We live among the many. We are defined by communities we cherish, the relationships that we hold dear, the culture that shapes us, whatever that might be. And more we've begun to think globally. We care what happens on the other side of the world. In so many ways, we can lose ourselves in the culture. There's a moment of humor at the end of the first act of Thornton Wilder's play. Maybe you're familiar with it, called Our Town. It's old. It's, you know, probably getting close to 100 years old. And there's just this wonderful scene that illustrates how one can get lost in the many. One of the characters, Rebecca, is talking and recalling a letter from her friend Jane, and that she had received from her minister when she was sick. And it was addressed this way in the envelope. And she's reading this to another person. It was addressed to Jane Crowfoot, the Crowfoot Farm, Grover's Corners, Sutton County, New Hampshire, United States of America. And she paused to laugh, and she was asked, well, what's funny about that? Rebecca said, but listen, it's not finished. And she continues, United States of America, continent of North America, Western Hemisphere, the Earth, the solar system, the universe, the mind of God. That's what it said on the envelope. Can you picture Jane Crowfoot in that address becoming smaller and smaller and less significant? It's like looking through a super-powered telescope a billion trillion miles away, retracting the lens until a person disappears, and then the Earth and the universe then become like specks on a screen. This strong sense of the many can be a blessing, especially when it leads us, as in the case of this letter in Our Town, back to the one who created us all. All of this community and culture of which we're a part, from the individual we move to the universe and ultimately to the Creator God. The challenge, though, is to not lose oneself in the way. The challenge is to know that God is busy working His divine plan to save the world through Jesus Christ. God yet has not lost sight of you in the global crowd. God so loved the world, it is true. But it is just as true that God so loved you. God has some work to do, cutting through all that is between me and God, the stuff of families and nations and cultures. But God gets the divine mail delivered to Jane and to you and me. That's the message of the call of Abraham. Yes, God is out to save the many, even the all. But God does it one by one, family by family, nation by nation. And when God gets through, when the saving work of Jesus Christ takes hold of an individual, it is simply true that community is born. This new community, of course, with God and the church and with the neighbor, all objects of the individual's Christian love. In other words, from the many, God finds the one who in turn blesses the many. That is your story of blessing and mine. There's a favorite painting that people will stand literally hours looking at by a Flemish Renaissance painter named Peter Bruegel. It's called The Census of Bethlehem. We have a picture of it there, painted in 1566. And Bruegel places the story of Christmas Eve in his own contemporary setting of a taxing census in a bustling peasant village in a low countries of the Netherlands. And there is enough to see in this painting. As I said, people will stand there for hours looking at all the different events that are going on. Ice skaters, snowball fights, kids sledding on the ice. the draining of a slaughtered pig's blood for sausage, a makeshift pub, a crumbling castle, a well-kept church, and a long line of taxpayers. And you have to look closely for her, but there in the foreground, among the bustling crowd of this Renaissance Christmas Eve, right down here, is Mary, the expectant mother of our Lord. She rides a donkey led by Joseph into Bethlehem. Now, in a little bit closer inspection of this picture, we zeroed in on Mary's picture and Joseph's leading there. And if you look really close there, behind the donkey is a cow with his head tipped up looking at us, as if saying, please, take note. He has arrived, the one among the many, blessed to be a blessing. Marked by a newly lit candle each week, we embark today on a season celebrating the birth of the one who came to save the many. In a sermon for Christmas Day, Luther wrote this: the gospel does not merely teach about the history of Christ. No, it enables all who believe it to receive it as their own, which is the way the gospel operates. Of what benefit would it be to me if Christ had been born 1,000 times and it would daily be sung into my ears in a most lovely manner if I were never to hear that he was born for me and was to be my very own? Much of this season of Advent and Christmas, we will do with those whom we love the most. The season of lights, the carols, the greens, the cookies, the gifts will in many ways bring its own blessings to our lives. And yes, it enlightens our culture, I believe. It will be a lovelier time when the world takes on this Yuletide glow and the message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, seems more than just a slogan. We will do it all with millions of Christians, think about that, all over the world. And that will be a good thing. That said, the good news of Christmas is also meant to be ours, one by one. God has always had a heart for the one through whom many will be blessed. So it was with Abraham. So it was with Mary. And so it was with Jesus of Nazareth. And so it is with you and me. Christ was born for us. Christ was born for you. This Christmas, may God find and bless you among the many and make you a blessing to those around you. In Jesus' name, amen.